We're all living in America, America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America, America, America. We're all living in America, America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America, America, America. Will ich führen, auch wenn ihr euch alleine dreht, lasst euch ein wenig kontrollieren, ich zeige euch, wie es richtig geht. Wir bilden einen lieben Reigen, die Freiheit spielt auf allen Geigen. Musik kommt aus dem Weißen Haus und vor Paris steht Mickey Maus. We're all living in America, America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America, America, America. Ich kenne Schritte dieser Nützen und werde euch vor Fehltritt schützen. Und wer nicht tanzen will am Schluss, weiß noch nicht, dass er tanzen muss. Wir bilden einen lieben Reigen, ich werde euch die Richtung zeigen. Nach Afrika kommt Santa Claus und vor Paris steht Mickey Maus. We're all living in America, America, ist wunderbar. We're all living in America, America. We're all living in America, Coca-Cola, Wanda Bra. We're all living in America, America, America. This is not a love song. This is not a love song. I don't think my mother's gone. No, this is not a love song.
Good lord, you people are still listening to this stuff? Still listening to this channel? You ain't got nothing better to do on a Saturday night than listen to my lame show? Well, you ain't got nothing better to do. This is Luke. I'm back again for another show. Sorry about last week. Had some technical problems and things that came up at the last minute kind of precluded me from doing my show. So, I don't know, you must have heard repeats or something last week. I didn't get a chance to even listen in live. I was at work. Just like this London bombing that went on. I was at work when that happened. Caught it fresh off the BBC news feed because I happened to be listening to a local affiliate that carries their station late at night. I knew exactly what the spin was going to be come the morning time. I knew what the talk show hosts were going to say. See, this is more evidence. We got to bomb the crap out of these dark-skinned Arabs because, you know, that's the only thing they understand. We got to kill 1,000 of them for every one of us that gets killed. You know, forget the fact that maybe some of the people you're dropping a bomb on had nothing to do with the bombings that happened. We should just, you know, indiscriminately drop bombs on people because, hey, you know, as Paul Harvey said, this country wasn't made by people made out of, sugar and candy, or he was spitting out some kind of nonsensical BS in his old age. I think the Alzheimer's is finally catching up to that freak. For those of you who didn't catch his remarks on the air, I'm going to play it in its entirety right now so you can judge for yourself just how much of a psycho loon bag this guy's become in his old age.
I've been choking on something for weeks. Let's get it up and get it out for what it's worth. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill said that he said, and this is a direct quote, "We didn't come this far because we are made of sugar candy." That was his response to the attack on Pearl Harbor. That we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. And that reminder was taken seriously. And we proceeded to develop and deliver the bomb, even though roughly 150,000 men, women, and children perished in Hiroshima and Nagasaki with a single blow. World War II was over. Following New York, September 11, Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill was not here to remind us that we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. So, following the New York disaster, we mustered our humanity. We gave old pals a pass, even though men and money from Saudi Arabia were largely responsible for the devastation of New York and Pennsylvania and our Pentagon. We called Saudi Arabians our partners against terrorism, and we sent men with rifles into Afghanistan and Iraq, and we kept our best weapons in their silos. Even now, we're standing there dying, daring to do nothing decisive, because we've declared ourselves to be better than our terrorist enemies, more moral, more civilized. Our image is at stake, we insist. But we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. Once upon a time, we elbowed our way onto and into this continent by giving smallpox-infected blankets to Native Americans. Yes, that was biological warfare. And we used every other weapon we could get our hands on to grab this land from whomever, and we grew prosperous. And yes, we greased the skids with the sweat of slaves. And so it goes with most great nation states, which, feeling guilty about their savage pasts, eventually civilize themselves out of business and wind up invaded and ultimately dominated by the lean, hungry, up-and-coming, who are not made of sugar candy. Paul Harvey, good day.
Well, Paul, don't worry. The only thing made out of sugar candy around here is your fascist, petty ass. You know, what's disturbing isn't the fact that this guy said what he said. What's disturbing is that he hasn't been yanked off ABC's radio waves yet. At least not that I can tell. Now, had he been somebody like the Dixie Chicks expressing an anti-war sentiment, you better believe that after he said express some strong views against the war, that he wouldn't be on the very next day to say them again. But, you know, being that we have a corporate-controlled media and all, I guess the best thing you can do is to point out the absurdity of some of their positions and how brutally out of touch they are with reality at times. Hell, today while I was surfing around, I came across this one story talking about these talk show hosts, AM talk show hosts, I believe. They're getting sponsored by a Republican supporter that they're going to get sent over to Iraq to talk to the troops because they want to get around the quote-unquote liberal media bias that only shows the negative information coming out of Iraq. They want to show what the positive things that are going on right now, and how we're actually winning the war, and how we're turning the tide. And the major news media, they're just not reporting the good things that all our soldiers have been doing and all the progress. What these little tools conveniently forget to tell people when they're bragging is that they're most likely, in all probability, going to stay within the green zone, the well-protected green zone in Baghdad, for their entire time, sitting in air-conditioned hotels with a master pool, all the amenities, talking to troops as they come back off patrol, most likely selectively recording the troops that have stories that match up the BS stories that they've already got planned to indoctrinate the American public with, because, hey, these talk show hosts, they're paid liars, just like the news telecasters and just like the news reporters that go along to get along. Paid liars. The reason they're paid liars is because all the honest people have been forced out of the media. At any rate, I've been babbling on with too much boring crap, so I'm going to go to a song for the break here for a few minutes. It's dedicated to our friends out at Sting TV.
Disgust me. It's a drag when you bring me down. And all the things that you say, no one cares anyway. But then you gotta deal with me. You step back. You step back. You built on the cheap shot guilt doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. You step back. You step back. You're like an insect, but I don't wanna do the time. Do you really wanna confront me? Do you really wanna deal with me? Huh? 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 No! I really don't think so! You motherfucker!
buddy. You got to watch out these days. There's a lot of con men in the quote-unquote patriot movement. You got to watch out for people selling questionable goods out there on the internet. Hell, even sometimes they offer them free, as in the case of Sting TV. I'm not going to mention their real name because I don't believe they deserve a free commercial on Revere Radio Network after the punk-ass stunt that they pulled. Anyone that calls the authorities about a private dispute and tries to use the force of the federal government to intervene in an argument is a narc. It's a narc to me. It's a narc, snitch, tattletale, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely not a person that you can trust when the chips are down. It's looking like the chips will be down in the future sometime. So you really want to put your trust in somebody that will that'll fold and go to the federal government to intervene in an argument just because they got their ass kicked, basically? A little piece of advice would be this. You know, if you get your ass kicked in a verbal disagreement or on forum boards, don't go to the federal government. Go back, lick your wounds, prepare a better argument, and enter the fray. And who knows, maybe you'll come out victorious one of these times. But when you go to the federal government over some BS sexual harassment or sexual defamation, the person who's guaranteed to lose is you. We really ought to make it a practice, and when we find somebody that does this sort of activity, to snitch on them to all their friends, anyone that might potentially give them any type of respect. You need to tell everybody that might come in contact with that person that the person they're dealing with is not to be trusted, and the reasons why. Can't let these people hide behind little covers of anonymity and play these little BS games behind people's backs. That's the sort of thing that destroys communities. All right, now that I've bitched about that little subject and gotten it off my chest with the remainder of my time here, it's kind of running down really quick. I'm going to play a condensed track with the leader of Op Truth, OperationTruth.com, talking about these conservative radio show hosts going to Iraq, like I mentioned before, how they're just going to go to the green zone and just going to sit there and soak up the sun and not really do anything, and then come back and tell everyone how they got the real story. So I'm going to play that, and that's pretty much going to take the last of my time for the show today.
This is Rachel Maddow from The Rachel Maddow Show. The right-wing group Move America Forward has organized a group of conservative radio talk show hosts to travel to Iraq in order to report on the great unreported success that is the Iraq War. In their eyes, the Voices of Soldiers Truth Tour has been planned in conjunction with the U.S. Southern Command. One host traveling with the group, Buzz Patterson, stated recently that he thinks the war is already won and that Iraq is stable. Joining me now to discuss the showcase behind door number biased is Paul Rykoff. Since returning from active duty, Paul has been dedicated to telling the truth about the war from the soldier's perspective. He founded the nonpartisan nonprofit organization Operation Truth last October in order to increase the dialogue between the American people and the men and women who are actually fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Paul, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, Rachel. Thank you.
Paul, I have to say, when I saw the press release come out from Move America Forward and it says, "Talk Radio heads to Baghdad, dash, and then in all caps, Operation Truth Tour." And I thought, Operation Truth is organizing a tour to Iraq, and Paul didn't invite me. I was very upset. You must have been really annoyed that they used that phrase.
Well, I'm hoping we get some cut of the money they're going to make over there, because it's undoubtedly a promotional event for them. And to be honest with you, this is probably... I looked at this list of names of the people who are involved in here, and I've never heard of any of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody listens to these people. Who the hell are they? And it seems like the only way they can get a few thousand people to listen to them is to go to Iraq, where they've got a captive audience, and you only have about two channels for service members to listen to in English.
Well, they've got... It's Brad Maskey. Buzz Patterson, as I mentioned, Martha Zoller, Mark Williams, Melanie Morgan, and Michael Graham. I have heard of Melanie Morgan because she's one of the people behind the Recall Gray Davis campaign. But, you know, what's interesting to me about this, two things. Number one, they've already decided what they want to report when exactly. they go. And number two, Central Command, CENTCOM, is co-sponsoring it. That's the part of it that sticks out to me.
Yeah, that is definitely troubling. And it's not reporting when you've already reached your conclusion before you've gotten there. That's not reporting, that's cheerleading.
Right.
And I think we've had enough of that at this point, and what we need is leadership and truth. And it's ironic because none of these guys have ever called our organization, which is the largest Iraq and Afghanistan vets group in the country. We've been around for a year now, and we do tons of radio, you know, your show and others, and these guys have never called us. We've been sitting around waiting for them. We've tried to book their shows, and they've never had us on, so they didn't have to go all the way to Iraq and have all this taxpayer dollars spent in order to get the truth from the people who've served. It's great that they're going over there, but to be honest with you, they're going to sit in the green zone. They're not going to go out on patrols, and they're going to be another group of war zone tourists who go over there to get their jollies by, you know, watching stuff blow up or at least being near the action. In the military, we call them jock sniffers. I mean, it's clearly a way for them to get their profiles up, and it looks like, you know, political opportunism, and I think it's really exploitive. And, you know, the guys in Iraq don't need these people over there. That's the bottom line. If they want them, they can go on the web, they can find other ways to listen to their shows, and it's not going to increase morale. One guy said it's going to cost him and his wife $15,000 to go over there, and he's spending his own money. Why don't you spend that $15,000 on some DVDs for these guys, or send them some body armor, because they don't need you and your wife coming over there to look pretty in front of the green zone.
At the same time, this group that's going over there is using rhetoric that sounds a lot like the mission of Operation Truth. I mean, they're saying we're providing an outlet for our brave troops to tell us some of their accomplishments. You know, we're getting around the, Melanie Morgan has said, we're getting around the liberal media filter. We're going direct to the source here. I mean, it is a guided tour. They're not going to be actually allowed to go outside the green zone or to get away from anybody who's going to be shepherding them. But they're saying, we're going to be getting the story straight from the troops.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I don't know how easy that's going to be when the public affairs officer is standing over that troop's shoulder and when his commanding officer is standing there as well. I think it's a really naive understanding of how the military works, how Iraq works, and the opinions of the people in Iraq. I mean, they have opinions, and they're as broad as the opinions throughout America. So to assume that, you know, they're going to get one side of the story before they even get there is really insulting. And, you know, Melanie Morgan's not going to be sitting on the top of a Bradley as they roll through Fallujah. Right. She's going to be sitting in the green zone, which looks like a hotel. I mean, it's a massive compound with a pool and an air-conditioned movie theater. I mean, it's not exactly the rough vision of what Iraq is to most Americans. And when these, you know, young soldiers and Marines go out and patrol, Melanie Morgan's going to be sitting comfortably behind a bulletproof wall. So, you know, it's really exploitive how they go over there and try to assume that they're going to get the truth. You don't have to go all the way over there to get the truth. I mean, the troops are here. Over 100,000 of them have come home at this point, and you can talk to them on any given day. Get them on your show, and we'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. What do you think about people who, journalists who do go over there and the choices they make about being embedded or not being embedded? I mean, there are still embedded reporters right now over there in Iraq. What do you think, from your perspective, having spent time there, having been there for the time that you were, what do you feel like are responsible decisions for reporters to make who are considering going?
I think by choosing to allow yourself to be embedded at that very moment, you're compromising your journalistic integrity.
Okay.
We protect your butt, and if we're not there, you could get killed. And if you go in and only report one side, the American side, when you're embedded, you're missing 50% of the story. When you roll out with that patrol and go back to the green zone, you're not going to interview the Iraqi people. You're not going to talk about the effect that the Americans have had on that area. And you're going to go back to a very comfortable world. So I think it's very one-sided. And embedding, I mean, they're in bed with the military. You've got to cooperate with the Department of Defense and the Army to even get access to the battlefield, to get access to Iraq and Afghanistan. So if you really want to do some investigative reporting, if you want to be aggressive, then, you know, take a plane into Jordan and hire a taxi to go in without being embedded. You can roam around the landscape on your own, and you'll find some stories, I guarantee you. It's going to be dangerous as hell, but that's the same danger our troops face every single day.
Right.
But that's real reporting, and there are a few reporters who do it, very few in the American media, but I'd like to see a lot more of them getting out there and getting their hands dirty and risking their lives. And when they say, oh, well, it's too dangerous, well, that's the same stuff we're facing every day.
Right.
And we use the same source everyone else has, the same four Iraqi guys who get paid by MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and all the others. That's not reporting. I mean, it becomes an echo chamber, and there's very little investigative, aggressive reporting going on right now. I think that's largely a function of the embedding. And people should understand that embedding is not giving you the full story. I think that's the really dangerous part. It gives the impression that they are getting the story, and you're just simply not.
The other idea, though, is that it's not purely that reporters have to choose between being out there alone with no protection or being embedded. I mean, some reporters and some news agencies, they'll hire independent security to be with them so that you can be with a guy and a gun if you want to be with a guy and a gun.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be the troops that you're reporting on that are the people who are protecting you.
Yeah, I mean, you do get a degree of Stockholm Syndrome. And we talk to reporters every day who've come home and said to us, hey, you know, explain to me how I can negotiate this situation where I'm going to report on a soldier, but the guys in his unit or his higher command are going to get pissed off, or someone else, you know, it could endanger his career. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, they do identify with these people because you're protecting them. And also, a lot of the reporters are patriots themselves, so they're very concerned about undermining the war effort. But it's also a new generation of reporters. Very few of them have personal military experience.
That's right.
Where they did in Vietnam or in past wars. And I think that directly affects how they view the military. They don't know when they're getting fed a line of crap. They don't know the difference sometimes between a general and a major. And I think having that little bit of personal experience really allows them to sift through the spin that comes out of the Pentagon and comes out of the Army. I did this. I was responsible for leading some of these embedded guys along with my platoon and along with my battalion. When they came in, they'd say, okay, Rykov, you handle the guy from CBC today, because I was a good talker and I knew how to relate to these people. And that's what's going to happen. If you think you're going to come in cold and get a story that's unique that no one else found and the Army's going to allow you to run back to the States and bang it out on your news program, I think that's really ignorant and it's not what's happening. So this is the height of arrogance. These guys are clowns. I mean, who the hell is Martha Zoller from Gainesville, Atlanta? Gainesville in Atlanta. I've never even heard of her. And when the guy who said, you know, Baghdad is about as dangerous as Detroit, that's what one of these guys said.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's been to Detroit, and he's probably never been to Baghdad.
Right.
So that's
I get sensitive about that criticism, though, because nobody's ever heard of me either. But it is interesting. This is not the first time that CENTCOM has brought over a group of conservative talkers. They brought over a group in April as well. This is the consistent strategy of theirs. We're also seeing it happen at Guantanamo. I mean, it's military money. It's taxpayer dollars being spent to bring over journalists and basically tour them through a situation that the Pentagon would love to see a rosier picture portrayed from.
Right. Well, the thing to understand is that the media is part of the battlefield. In the evolution of warfare right now, the PR campaign is as important, especially in a guerrilla warfare, if not more important than what's actually happening on the battlefield. So there's a massive PR spin machine that comes out of the Pentagon, civil affairs, psyops people who help craft the message and help America get a certain view of what's happening on the battlefield. And that view is the one they want it to be. So they're always going to be pushing and pulling on the media to try to portray exactly what they want. My commander used to get enraged when, for example, a 60 Minutes reporter came in and said, I want to tell this story. My commander said, well, that's not a story. My guys are working very hard. Here's the story you should tell.
Hmm.
Well, that's not how it's going to work. And I tried to explain that to him. And I think the press, if they're aggressive and if they're true to their integrity, they will get the good story. But there's also a cost issue here. It's much cheaper for them to use the same source and to not go outside and get private security and be aggressive. And since the invasion, they've dramatically pulled back on the sheer number of press personnel. They're just not devoting the same amount of money and resources to the battlefield that they were 2 years ago.
And we can expect that to get less over time. Even,
exactly. Right? And that narrows the coverage, and it really creates a shallow understanding of what's happening in Iraq. And the bottom line is the American public is extremely detached from what's happening in Iraq. And for most Americans, it's become an issue rather than an experience.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to get that unadulterated truth is to talk to the people who are there, the Iraqi and American people who are there, and also talk to the ones who are just coming home. But you're not going to get a young sergeant over there speaking honestly in front of a wall of camouflage, all his superior officers, and some talk show host. It's just not going to happen. This kid's not going to feel safe and secure to really talk about what he thinks is going on in Iraq when all these people are there who can make him clean toilets for the next 4 weeks if he says the wrong thing.
What do you think about these guys' criticism, though, the Move America Forward, these right-wing guys' criticism that the story that's being told about Iraq right now is just too negative? They're saying, we believe the emphasis has been placed too much on the negative. We're concerned that there are all these positive things that are not being reported. What do you think about that criticism?
You know, there are some positive things coming out of there, but to assume that the war front or the battlefield is a place where you're going to go get good news stories is ridiculous. I mean, this is a war zone. You know, it's not Disneyland. If you want good news stories, go down to Disneyland, go to SeaWorld, go find somewhere happy. But this is not that place. And war sucks, people die, and a lot of carnage is created. But this campaign is the same group of people who have I Love Gitmo stickers on their website
that's
for
right.
sale. I mean, how out of touch are you if you think Gitmo and the situation that's unfolded there